Hello and welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I am so happy to have you here with us again. So today is day 10, and I want to thank you so much for putting your trust and your faith in me and in all of the speakers on the summit, allowing us to come into your home or your workspace or your car or your iPhone or wherever it is that you have been connecting with us from. There are a lot of ways that you could be spending your time, and we really appreciate that you have chosen to spend this time with us on the summit. You know, my commitment in creating this summit was to provide you with tips and tools on all things related to dating and attraction so that you could really call in a great and lasting love. And to do that, I wanted to gather some of the best experts in the arena of love and relationship to support you in that. So I hope that you have been as pleased as I have been with the incredible level of support and wisdom and tools and resources and inspiration and heart that all of the speakers brought to this summit. I can't thank them enough, and I hope that you're leaving this summit with some new tools in your dating mastery toolkit that you'll be putting to use and into practice on your great path to love. So before we wrap the summit, I would now like to share some of my tips and tools with you that I share with my love and relationship coaching clients who are seeking great love. So I've asked a really good friend of mine, Tanya Memmi, if she would do the honor of interviewing me today. So I'm going to bring her on in a minute, but first I want to introduce you to Tanya. And hi, Tanya. So Tanya Memmi, she's an Emmy-nominated TV host known to millions of viewers. She's a passionate speaker, entrepreneur, and a philanthropist who loves DIY. Tanya is passionate about aging meaningfully. She is launching a skincare line this summer, and currently she's hosting the new online talk show, Live It, with Tanya and Robert, and is co-founder of the Live It Company, launching this spring. Tanya is most famous for her role as hosting the Emmy-nominated show Sell This House and Sell This House Extreme and Move This House on A&E and FYI Channel. Her recent TV appearances include Home and Family on Hallmark Channel, Awesomeness TV, Best Vacations, it's a syndicated travel show, ET Canada on Global TV. She has hosted numerous infomercials, commercials, live events, and currently she has an infomercial running for Mirage Hair Care with Guthrie Rinker. And this year, Tanya will be speaking across America, launching the Live It Summit. And Tanya is big into giving back, and she makes trips to Guatemala with her dad to help Wells of Hope build schools and bring clean water to remote communities. She has a 7-year-old daughter, Ava, who is absolutely adorable. And Ava's appeared with her mom crafting on Hallmark Channel's Home and Family for 4 years. So Tanya, thank you for being here. And I am now passing the host mic over to you to take over the hosting duties. And thank you so much for being here with us today on the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit.
What an introduction that was. Thank you. And I know that you've actually coached me a few times with certain challenges that I've been going through. So I'm a very, very big supporter of you, and I'm honored that you gave me the role today of interviewing you, which you know I love interviewing. That's what I do. All right, so let's just dive in. So I am absolutely thrilled to introduce our next guest and expert and host of the summit, Cami Ellen. And she's going to be talking today on the topic, Your Ultimate Love Life Makeover. She believes that doing the inner work is an important part of finding love, but it's also important to move from there to do the external work, settling into a new rhythm that is aligned with your vision for love. This means committing to yourself first, knowing you are worthy of love, and showing up in your life in a way that has great love become an inevitability. So this is going to be a very special conversation. I'm very excited about this. So first, let me tell you a little bit more about Cami. So Cami is a love alchemist. She's trained in transformative coaching and clinical psychology. She's the host of the Love Life Makeover Summit Series and creator of the 12-module Love Life Makeover Advanced Training Program, supporting her clients to date and relate with unshakable confidence and step into becoming a woman who can inspire a great love. She's also the creator of the hottest love and relationship boot camp on the web today, the Sexual Attraction Reboot, and her 4-part Luscious Love video series. She shows women how to remove the internal and external obstacles to love and land smack dab in the middle of happily ever after. Through her Luscious Love coaching brand, she facilitates live and virtual events around the world on the subjects of dating, love, sex, attraction, and female empowerment. She's a gifted musician, a songwriter, and Cami has released 3 albums, and her music has been featured in films, TV, and video games. I mean, Cami, what have you not done? Seriously. Hope I got all that out there because, you know, that's awesome.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, well, you know, I've been introducing all my amazing speakers for the last 10 days of interviews, so it's so humbling to have someone else do the same for me. So thank you.
Yes, so great. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, like, what is a love alchemist? Is that a question that you get asked all the time?
So love alchemist, and you know, I believe that we are doing a certain type of magic and transformation, you know, when we're working with clients. And I've had the pleasure and the privilege of almost, gosh, over 10 years now supporting women around love and relationship and taking this potential that they have, this sensing that they're having, wanting love in their lives, but not quite sure how to turn that into the gold of love. So I feel like there's a little bit of that happening, a little alchemy, you know, when we're working together towards that goal.
Yeah, I love it. It's wonderful. And I know you're absolutely amazing at what you do. As I said, you know, you've helped me through some pretty tough situations in my life, so thank you. But I'm so excited I get to ask you all the questions now. So, first of all, what do you mean by ultimate love life makeover?
Okay. Well, in the time that I have, you know, been working with women and coaching women, a lot of the women that I end up working with, I find that they've done work on themselves. They've done some kind of work on themselves. And a lot of that has had to do with doing some internal work and growth work and having some realizations about old false beliefs or, you know, internal mindsets, things that haven't supported them to have love. But then they've stopped there. And I feel like that internal work is great and it's really important, but it's not enough to find you the kind of love that you are seeking. So I think that's where some people get stuck. And I feel like, so the ultimate love life makeover is looking at all of the areas of your life to really look to see if your life is set up in a way to really support love. So it's those internal belief systems, yes, but it's also, you know, it's getting beyond, oh, you know, I realize I've had this belief I'm not good enough, or, oh, I realize I've had this belief that men don't choose me. But then it's looking at, so how are those belief systems informing the way that you're showing up, the way that you're behaving? And how much do you have a dating plan? You know, what I like to call on the court action. So are you actually out there? Are you dating? Are you taking action? Are you online dating? Are you offline dating? Are you networking? Are you choosing wisely? Do you know how to choose wisely when you get potential suitors? Do you know who to say yes to, who to say no to? Could you use an actual makeover? You know, how is your personal style? Do you present yourself in a way where you're putting your best foot forward and presenting the best version of yourself, feeling confident, feeling beautiful when you're going on dates? Is your life set up in a way that you have space for dating? I talk to women sometimes and they're like, okay, well, you know, I have like 30 minutes on Wednesday for dating. It's like, no. If this is really something that's a priority for you, you need to look at your life and your lifestyle. Is it conducive to love and dating? And then lastly, I would just say, you know, a woman who is going through an ultimate love life makeover, one of the biggest things I think is to look at your level of your own fulfillment. Because a lot of times I think that as women, we can be out there seeking love and partnership as a way to fill us up. instead, starting from a space of, am I in a space of mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual fulfillment in my life? Am I focusing on those areas so that I feel full already? And then I'm going out into the dating world from a space of feeling full and happy and joyful and radiant. And we'll talk more about that as we go along, I'm sure. But so that's what I mean about an ultimate love life makeover, is looking at all of those different areas of your life that are going to be supportive of creating this love in your life. And where are the shifts and the changes and the tweaks that are needed to have this love life makeover plan that will be supportive of that?
Wow. So what would you say is the first step to great love, and why is taking that first step so important?
Okay. So a lot of times when I talk with clients, they come to me and say, okay, I really want to create this love in my life. And one of the first things I will ask them is, okay, great. Well, let's start with your vision for love. And I can think of a client I know I worked with the other day, and I asked her this question, and her response was, oh, gosh, I don't really know.
Right.
And so if you don't know what your vision for love is, then it's kind of like your vision for love is, it's your GPS, you know, it's your destination, you're taking you to your destination of great love. And if you don't have your GPS programmed towards your destination, then you're going to get off the beaten path. You're going to get lost. You're going to find this bright, shiny object over here that looks great.
So your
vision, distractions. So your vision for love is so important. And so it's looking at what it looks like, feels like, sounds like really with your senses. And people who have participated in the summit, if they've decided to upgrade, I actually have a love visioning meditation that I've included in the bonuses. And this takes them through the whole visioning process. And I think it's really important when you're doing this visioning process to really get into your body and to really use all of the senses to imagine what it would feel like and look like and sound like, and to use all the senses to really feel what it feels like, what's happening, who they are inside of the partnership, what are the qualities that they're experiencing in the partnership, so they can really start to sense what that would be like. And I find that when we start with the vision, that a lot of times my clients will find that they are seeing aspects of themselves inside of this, you know, imaginal visioning that they're creating that they are not inside of in the present. So for example, I had a client and she did this visioning and I said, so what did you see about yourself inside of this vision? And she said, oh my God, I was so relaxed. I was so at ease and I don't feel that way in my life right now. And I realized that if I want to have that in my life, I need to figure out how to create more of that spaciousness and that relaxation and that ease in my life now so that I can create that in my life. So I think it's important for a lot of different reasons. And then the other thing I'll say about that is it's also important to know the form. So are you looking for a boyfriend? Are you looking to get married? Are you wanting to have children? Are you fine to live with someone, but you don't see yourself married?
Just very specific with that.
Yes, very specific, because this is going to be, as I said, it's like your GPS. And so if you meet someone along the way, and there's so many great people out there, you meet someone, he's a great person, a lot of great qualities, but he's not a fit for your vision, then you're not going to waste time that you could be spending investing in someone else who's a better fit for your vision. So that's why I think that's the first step.
Stick to it. I mean, like, really stick to it.
Yes, yeah, stick to it. Even when we have those bright, shiny objects that we know we've all done that in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And these are all things that when you have clients, when you take on a client, like, you really work through all of these aspects to it.
Absolutely.
So I hear you talk about a feeling assessment. What is that?
Yeah, so this is a part of that process too. And it's something that I'll take a client through. And So in addition to the vision, the feeling aspect of it is really important too. So I actually have a full visioning, and I won't take everyone through it now, but it's, I will imagine, have them imagine again, the situation, their ultimate luscious love, their beloved, this partnership. And I will ask them questions, and imagining you have this love in your life now, what would it feel like? And I just kind of ask them questions like, so what would it feel like inside of the fulfillment of this luscious love to be walking through your day and getting a text from your beloved saying, hey, babe, how are you? Just saying hi. How would you feel? I'll ask you since you're here.
Okay.
I'll put you on the spot. So just imagining this great love in your life and getting a text message from your beloved and just saying, hey, how are you feeling? And just give me like one or two words, how that would feel. Getting a text message saying, hey, babe, how are you? Just thinking about you.
It makes me feel appreciated that I'm being thought of, that mm-hmm. makes me feel happy. It's really just positive feelings. I feel mm-hmm. care of. I feel, you know, that somebody's thinking about me and somebody's there for me.
And how would you feel being able to talk about this great love in your life with your closest friends? How would you be feeling inside of the manifestation of this partnership? Just being able to share about this person with your friends.
It makes me feel good, happy, yeah, free. Like I'm not hiding anything. Like I don't mm-hmm. have to hide anything. I don't have to hold anything back. And mm-hmm. speak openly and honestly, and that feels nice.
And what about getting ready for a special night out, this like really special date night, getting ready, making yourself look gorgeous, your best? How would you be feeling?
Sexy and attractive and excited. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's often, I always wonder if he's thinking about me at the same time while he's getting ready.
Yeah, so I just wrote down a few things that you said, and I take women through a whole questionnaire, and we get a lot of different feelings, and then what I have them do is select like 3 to 5 of the top. So just to give everyone an example of like what you said, so appreciated, happy, sexy, attractive, excited. So I'll do this with my clients, and then I'll have them choose, okay, so from all of these, what are these feelings that you want to be feeling now in the present that you want to be, you want to have them on top of mind? You want to go through your day remembering, oh, okay, yeah, I really want to be committed to feeling appreciated, happy, sexy, excited, whatever those feelings are, you know, passionate, peaceful, fulfilled. I have a lot of different words that come up, you know, when I'm working with clients. But it's helpful because I think a lot of times, you know, we feel like, oh, well, when I have this love sometime in the future, I'll feel all of these things. But what's really true is that we bring all of that to partnership. Our partner's not making us feel that way. We're bringing it. So mm-hmm. I like to have these words, these feelings as a reminder that you can be stepping into all of that now in the present and showing up that way for yourself every day. Does that make sense?
And you mean like whether you're in a relationship or not? It's
yes.
just, you just, then you'll attract more of that into your life.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. That's, yeah. So, and then again, like when you have clients, you really sit them down, you really go through these steps with them and talk out all of these things, whether they're in a relationship or not.
Yes. So
be in a relationship or not be in a relationship and go through all of this with you.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So what is important to have on your wish list for your future soulmate? And I have one little question too to ask. Like, how do you know that it's not too idealistic to have this, like this list? And
yes. So
reasonable.
Yeah. So we've had some of the speakers on the summit have talked about this too. And the way that I look at it is, you know, there are things that we would like, you know, there are the things that we would like tall, dark, and handsome. And of course there needs to be an attraction. So, I mean, I think one of the things that you want to have is he is attractive to me, because all of us have a different idea of what that means for us. someone, a friend might be attracted to someone and we're not. So what really matters is that there is an attraction to us with, you know, with that person.
And sometimes it grows too. It's not like, you know, it's a tall, dark and handsome walking down the street. Sometimes it grows into something.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this goes back to the inner GPS idea. And what I think is really important is to look at the things in a person that are more the qualities, you know. Is he kind? Is he, first and foremost, is he available for partnership? You know, emotionally, physically, is he someone that is emotionally available, is able to connect? Is he someone that shares the same vision? We just talked about the vision a minute ago.
Yeah.
So is he someone who has the same type of vision for partnership? It's too soon, you know, at the beginning of relationship to figure out if we're going to go on to have that future together. But is he someone who sees himself creating partnership in the same way as I do? Is he someone who has the emotional capacity to meet me in the kind of partnership I want? And what I mean by that is, we could meet a great person. He has a lot of great qualities. And then, you know, many women I've heard say things like, oh, you know, the pattern I always have is I'm with these emotionally unavailable guys, or these guys who won't commit to me, or my needs don't seem to be met in relationship. And a lot of that is not personal. And we tend to take it personally and feel like, oh, there was something wrong with me. You know, he didn't want to show up for me and meet my needs. He wasn't emotionally available.
I have so been there. I've been down that road more than once.
Yeah. And so it's really important to just realize, oh, so one of the things on my wish list is I need to have a man who has the capacity emotionally to meet me there. So that means he's willing and able to do so. Let's face it, not everybody has done the work required to be able to do that. And it's not personal. It's just that that's where they are in their lives.
It might even be, you know, where his life is, how his life is structured too. If it's set up for that, like if he's still living with his ex, you know, wife, or if he's still he still has a gambling problem and everything.
Yes. Addictions. Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's another one. Addictions, looking at, is he, because if someone has active addictions, that is going to be, their beloved is their addiction, not you.
Yeah. Yeah, feeling like number two is never fun. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really looking at what are these things, these essential qualities in a partner that really matter to me, that are going to allow us to have the kind of relationship that we would like. And what are the things, a lot of times I think a good way to get to the wish list is to look at the things in the past that you've had that mm-hmm. have not worked, that have not been conducive to having a partnership. And you can usually take those and create the opposite. So for example, we just talked about addictions. If someone had been with a partner who say had an active addiction, you go, oh, okay, I definitely know I don't want that. So let's turn that into someone who has no active addictions. If you've had somebody in the past who was emotionally unavailable, okay, someone who is emotionally available. So sometimes you can just go through your past history and find ideas for things, you know, that you want to put on your wish list. But essentially it's the things that are going to create the kind of partnership with someone who has the capacity to meet you there. And in working with people, you know, we go through that in detail.
Yes, very much so. I could use that. No. But okay, so with all of your clients and all these situations that you have encountered and learned about and have helped people through, what do you think is one of the biggest barriers to love?
Well, we talked about this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And I do think it is a big barrier, and it is important to look at when going through these initial setting the foundations for love. So looking at the vision for love, looking at the wish list. But one of the biggest barriers, you can have your vision, you can have your wish list, but if you have limiting beliefs about love, then you're going to tend to create the same experiences over and over with this confusion about, like, I don't understand why I'm continuing to meet the same kind of guys. And some of the speakers have talked about this, you know, and so we can have limiting beliefs about ourselves. We can have limiting beliefs about love. We can have limiting beliefs about men. And so I'm going to focus on that because some of the speakers have talked a little bit about the limiting beliefs we have about ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, to look at beliefs, for example, about men, and do you have any beliefs like men are only after one thing, or men are players, or I'm invisible to men, or
the
I'm not.
That's just sort of including every man, and it's not the truth.
Yeah, I'm not safe with men, or men can't handle me, or a man's needs leave me depleted, or they're no good men. So, thinking about, do I have any of those things, and what would start to happen if you went out into the world with a different viewpoint about men and started to shift your beliefs to a more empowering place? And I don't mean just men that you're interested in romantically, because our paths cross every day, everywhere, you know, at the grocery store, the dry cleaners, you know, we're constantly
in the 405 traffic in LA.
Yeah, right.
I mean, have you ever experienced that before?
Yes. Yes. And so starting to come from a place that, you know, how can you shift your beliefs about men to a more empowering place, to a place of, you know, for example, okay, so some men are safe and others are unsafe. So we're not going to say all men everywhere are always safe. We're not going to be in like la la land about it, but yeah, some men are safe and others are unsafe, but I have the ability to decipher between the two, and men appreciate my femininity and radiance, and I value the richness that men bring into my life, regardless of our relationship status, and the man who is right for me will find me charming and enchanting and will want to organize around my needs, and I feel honored and appreciated by the men in my life who show me care. And I allow myself to be supported by men. You know, just imagine what starts to happen when you're going out into the dating world and into life itself from there.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's a little more difficult for some than others. And you know what I mean? And when we're talking about limiting beliefs, what about, do you have clients though that you see their limiting beliefs about themselves, but they don't see it at all? I mean,
yes. Yes, but
there's limiting beliefs that we have, we don't even know we have them.
Sure, absolutely. Well, that's why it's helpful to work with a coach, right?
Well,
because because sometimes we can't see why. You know, there's that confusion. I don't understand why this keeps happening, and so it's helpful to sit with someone to have it reflected back. And it's not that, you know, a good coach is not going to sit there and just say, okay, well, this is your problem. It's this, and that, and it's a discovery process,
right?
And it's talking together to just look at what your experiences have been up until now, and to look at the patterns and to make it conscious how the patterns have been happening, and looking at why. And because if someone just tells you, oh, you're doing this, it's
a realization to yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You know, make a difference within yourself. So
absolutely.
So what about origins, somebody's upbringing, someone's heritage? What does that have an effect on finding love? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, that really ties into the limiting beliefs. Most of the time when I'm working with a client and we look at what's been happening, their patterns in love and their experience in love up until now, they tell me the patterns and what's been happening. Usually if I ask them, so let's look back at your upbringing and your family of origin, and let's talk about, so what did you learn about love? You know, what were the messages that you received about love? What did you see modeled about love and a loving relationship with your family, your parents? Usually,
so I have an example just to maybe, is this what it was like? Okay, so I was with somebody that equated love to being cooked for, right? But I don't cook all the time.
Yeah, no, there's that.
Big issue. And until he never said anything to me about it, there was just this weirdness and this like tension. And it wasn't until like 3 years later, I found out this whole, I had no idea why there was.
So in his mind, he felt like he probably saw someone in growing up who did the cooking, Okay, so yeah. And and felt like, oh, well, that means I'm loved. When that happens, that means I'm loved. And when that doesn't happen, then I'm not loved. Yeah, we make those beliefs.
I had no idea.
Yeah. It could be, say someone was raised by a single mom and the mother never had another relationship, never got remarried. Well, here's this little girl watching the mother working really hard and trying to, you know, survival to feed the kids and to make everything happen. But she didn't see the role modeling of what it looks like for her mom to have a partnership. So she didn't learn what that looks like. So sometimes it's kind of learning these skills that we didn't learn growing up.
So it's not always heritage. It's also lifestyle. It's also
lifestyle.
Words that come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also a lot of times too, I mean, it's our parents did the best they could, right? You know, most of the time our parents weren't trying to not, you know, show us the love that we needed, but it can be simple things that happen growing up that as a child have us feel that our needs for love are not being met. And so it's just looking at those things, and some of them can be super subtle, breaking them up, identifying them, and then figuring out, well, what was the belief that as a 4-year-old or 5-year-old or 6-year-old that made me come up with that I've now taken all the way into my adult life, you know, like, oh, I'm not good enough, or I don't deserve love, or love means hard work, or whatever those things are, to see like, oh, no wonder I've been dating guys. No wonder like this. No wonder my love life has been like this because of that. So that's why it's important to look at the family origin.
You're making me think of things that like I never even really thought of before. So it's, it's awesome. And I know that you talk a lot about being radiant. What does that mean for you when you say that a lot as a coach?
Yeah. So, well, there's this great Maya Angelou quote, "Let nothing dim the light that shines from within."
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And I just love that quote because that speaks so beautifully to radiant and radiance and being a radiant woman. And so the way that I think of it is really coming to the table already full, already happy with feelings of joy and love, and not looking for or expecting a man or anyone else to create that for you, and really cherishing and adoring and loving yourself and your body and your essence and your gifts, and extending all of who you are from this place of wholeness out into the world from this place of deeply valuing yourself. So to me, that's what a radiant woman is.
Wow. I love that. You are very radiant. You are just
thank you. And you are as well, which I think is why we are attracted to each other.
Yes, exactly. Wow. I love all of this. Okay. So how can you teach a woman or talk to a woman or help her become more radiant?
Yes. Well, I definitely work with women on this, and I have a radiance meditation that I do with them. But, some places to start are, you know, the attitudes and the perceptions and the behavior to be in radiance. You really want your attitudes, perceptions, and behavior to be aligned with your enoughness, with your worth, with, as you're going through the dating process and just through life in general, not seeing disappointments as evidence that there's something wrong with you. You know, there are a lot of disappointments that come, you know, along in the dating process. He didn't call, he disappeared. I don't know if he liked me, you know, these things that, and just to like push that all to the side and to not let any of that disappointment be any evidence that there's something wrong with you, to continue to focus on your self-care of your body, mind, and spirit, including having pleasure be a must. So, you know, it's not about these endless to-do lists, but tuning in to what it is that's really going to bring you joy in your life. And back to what I said about the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual fulfillment, making sure that you're focusing on your own fulfillment and feeling that life is supporting you in your vision for love. I'd also say practicing creating healthy boundaries, and dating is a wonderful way to do that. And going out into the world another way to be radiant. How much of the time do you go out into the world and notice that everywhere you go, people are looking on at their phones? Everywhere you go.
I mean, everywhere you go, yeah. I'm guilty of it too sometimes, especially during the hours of 9 to 5. I'm like, eh.
Right. And so one of the ways I think to be radiant is to be one of those people who puts the phone down. You smile, you're present, and you're just open to life, open, receptive. You're bringing your radiance and you're sharing it with the world. And I will tell you, that makes such a difference. People will notice because you are that unique and special and rare person who's actually present to connection with another human being.
Well, I think if you're on your phone, whether you're in the grocery store looking at a list or whether you're walking down the, I mean, nobody's going to want to say hi to you.
Right.
So it's literally like a window, a door that you have already slammed closed.
Yes.
It's interesting. Sometimes if I'm in an elevator, because I get an elevator, right? People get very uncomfortable. There's one person in here with me in this tiny space. Let's pull out our phone. And, you know, I challenge myself a lot to like do what I used to do. Just let's have a conversation.
Yes, yes, and, yes.
You know, and it's
simple social conversations.
Yeah. And it's not even a man. Sometimes it's a woman or a person.
Yeah,
a
kid, just people. Whatever.
Just people, and just practice that more because we're so getting away from that. But
absolutely.
You're so right in saying that. If you have your phone in your nose, you know, nobody is going to even think twice about looking at you. And Mr. Perfect may have just walked on by.
That's right. <You
know>? So I've heard you also talk about a bliss list.
Yes.
A bliss list.
Yes.
Why is it so important? A bliss list.
Okay. So bliss list is important because I've mentioned several times already that I think the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical fulfillment is so important. And so this is kind of up-leveling that even more to continue to cultivate this inner sense of calm and harmony and well-being and joy and pleasure. So think about the things, the experiences, the people, the places that light you up like a Christmas
tree. That give you your bliss, right? So it's a very personal to everybody.
Yeah, it's very personal. And what it is that supports you to just feel happy and confident and like you're just full of joy. It could be anything. And Tanya, I actually thought of you because you gave me this beautiful glass teapot for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I like to take that and fill it with loose leaf tea and do this special pot of tea and then enjoy drinking it and just sitting and reading. To me, that is on my bliss list, sitting and enjoying this beautiful cup of tea and taking a little bit of space. But it could be anything. Like it could literally be cookies and milk. It could be yoga class. It could be having a heart-to-heart conversation with one of your really good friends. It could be buying yourself a pair of shoes, a candlelit bubble bath, taking yourself on a solo date, going to the movies by yourself, or maybe
a few times gone to the movies, but I enjoy it.
Or maybe you have someone, a friend or a relative or someone who has a little baby, and spending time with that child gives you a lot of pleasure and bliss. Or taking a walk in nature and just noticing things more, you know, looking at the leaves, the flowers, what is it that you can see? So anything that to you feels like it's going to bring you some of that bliss. And I recommend my clients do that at least once a week. So to be conscious and focused on, okay, what are the things that are really going to bring me this sense of bliss?
I have a question for you. This is just something that I was thinking about, but how important is it for somebody to create, like in their house, have that environment that sort of expresses love? On my bliss list would have been like, and I was thinking of simple things. And one thing for me is having my room, my bed made with beautiful pillows. And
yes,
I have a fluffy rug and my fluffy pillow. And then I've, you know, like making sure that everything's organized. I'm a mom, so it's like never like that. But when it is like that, I'm like the happiest person. And then I can walk, I feel more put together. Like, do you ever talk about your environment? I don't know. And how
absolutely
important is that?
Yes. And I'm not the only one. You know, a lot of people who talk about love and relationship talk about creating a home environment that is welcoming of love.
Single. Even if you're single, right?
Yes. Welcoming of love, you know, making sure, yeah, that you have a beautiful bedroom space, that you have, like, that you have a home environment that's welcoming for two, you know, right. That it's not just like, okay, I'm bachelorette and my space is not welcoming for of love. So being welcoming of love, to imagine, okay, if I had a partner in this space, would he feel comfortable in this space? Is it welcoming? And then also what you were just speaking to, I think, is this aspect of feeling like, oh, wow, I'm surrounded by beauty. To me, that's fulfillment.
And men love it too. Like, even if you're in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of wrap your head around it if you're single. You're like, I'm single. I got to do this, this, this. But even yes. if you're in a relationship, isn't it nice maybe to have candles when
absolutely
flowers around the house, you know, they appreciate
absolutely it. Yeah, but you know, I had a client who was doing that. She was single and she decided that she was going to create this candlelit dinner for herself, but she set the table for two. So she imagined, all right, so I'm imagining that I'm creating this special dinner for my beloved. I'm going to have this dinner. I'm going to feel the energy, the essence of what it would feel like to have a partner here. Because for her, it was helping her to get into this space of being in possibility and in that feeling space that I talked about earlier. So there's so many possibilities when it comes to the home and so many different reasons to do it that I think are definitely supportive of creating love and cultivating love.
Yes, yes, definitely. Okay, so I mean, let's talk about obviously online dating. What, when you're making your profile, you're building your profile, what is most important in building a really strong and attractive profile online?
Okay. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this because we have had a couple experts talk about this, but the main things, the first thing that comes to mind, professional photos. I can't tell you how many times I've worked with clients.
Right.
Yeah, current ones, yes. Current. I've worked with clients and they're beautiful inside and out, and they send me their photos and it's like she's this big on the page, you can't even tell who she is in the picture, or it's really dark, or it's just not a great photo, you know, it's not flattering, or it's a selfie. And these photos are fine, you know, for different reasons, but if someone is on an online dating site and they're seeking a partner, and they're just looking on the page, you want to think about, how is this photo really putting my best foot forward? Is this really presenting my inner and outer beauty in a way that, to the back to the radiance piece, am I popping off the page? You know, is that coming across? And if the answer is no, don't use the photos, professional photos. And I think getting professional photos done, and you can talk about this, Tanya, it's so fun hiring a photographer and getting a makeup artist, and
there's so many things you can use them for now.
Yeah, and so many things you can use them for.
Yeah.
But feeling like you're being pampered and taken care of and supported by these professionals who want you to look your best and make you feel comfortable. So that's super, super important.
I have a question for you on that topic too, and I don't know how mm-hmm. you feel about this, but so a friend of mine, he's a data guy, right? Like, he loves reading data. We were talking about online photos and profiles and what gets, you know, more interest. And when we were talking, I was also there with a couple friends of mine that met online. And I said, okay, to him, what attracted to you most and to you most to her in her profile? And he showed me the picture and he still had the picture. They've been dating for a long time. They've been there.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And she had this photo of her. It was kind of like her back was like this, and she had like a glass of wine, and she was looking like not directly at the camera, but off. And she was at this beautiful winery and it was dimly lit. And he told me, he goes, this was such a, he said, first of all, like, she wasn't looking directly at the camera. So you don't always have to look directly at the camera, but it also, this picture told me so much about her.
Yes.
Wine. It told me she's classy. It told me that she likes
yes.
places, and she's, her shoulders were up, and it you know, she's fun.
And the expression, really, the expression, it sounds, yeah. it sounds like the expression was like, hey, come on over here.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'm flirty.
I'm fun. I'm yeah. Don't you want to learn more?
Yeah. And then the guy who, my friend who does, like, he's all into data. He was telling me that he was saying that the photos where the person isn't exactly looking directly at the camera. So if you do get them professionally done or not, think outside the box, like jump up in the air, you know, have your hands up, and you don't have to be like, whatever you do, be your
personality.
You know, squat on the floor in a fun position, you know, or whatever. You don't always have to have your favorite. If you love coffee, like go to a coffee shop and get a fun photo taken there. Like put time and energy into it, but it doesn't have to be like this posed.
Yes.
You know,
sterile. Yes, totally. Yeah, that's it. That's great advice, intuitively, Tanya. Yeah, and I was going to say that.
And don't actually squat on the floor, but just.
Yeah, please.
And if you do, make it interesting, okay?
No, I think what you're saying, though, is that it is right on, which is have your personality come across, who it is that you are. And I love your example. What you just said is a great example that he still has that photo because it spoke so much to him. It wasn't generic about who it is that she is and a little bit of her essence in that moment. And it was like an instant thing, just like, oh, I'm interested in that. And that's what you want with the photos. So really important.
There's
and
some weird photos out there, Cammy, that I'm just like, what are you thinking? Or else you go, great, nice photo. And it's all the same person. You see one photo that if it just turns you, you're done. You move on.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's really, so again, work with a coach or have friends help you to look at the photos to tell you, yeah, this one's great. No, I wouldn't use that one. So that's really important. And then you want a profile that really honors your vision for love. So it really speaks to who you are, the fullness of who you are. Like you just said about the photo, you want the same effect with the profile. And you can work with somebody to help you write it if you feel like you're not a great writer. And there are even services out there. Coaches work with people. You know, I've helped clients do that. But you really want to have a profile that speaks to who you are. And it's not just generic, like I'm caring, happy, and fun. You know,
real.
Be real, you know, be like, oh, I love early mornings. I'm sitting in my big shirt and my messy hair and I enjoy my morning coffee and I sneak in a few pages of my latest read before I start my day. Like that tells you so much more about the person. Then, oh, I'm nice, or, you know. So think about like you have a paintbrush and you're painting a picture for the person of who you are and how can you really have fun with your profile. So that I would say. And then the other thing is when it comes to the style and the clothing, this is another opportunity to experiment and explore who you are. Doesn't matter what the latest trends are in fashion. Look for things, and I think it's really fun to look to style icons or to magazines. You can look to people for examples of ideas, and you know, you could borrow ideas from style icons or from magazines for things that you like, great style, and you can start to cultivate. Say that again.
And also keep it within who you are. Like if you like sort of a shabby or chic type of look.
Yes. You know, yes. Yes. So, I mean, you could feel like, oh, I'm more polished elegance. I want to be like, I'm more an Audrey Hepburn or Gwyneth Paltrow or Jackie O, or I really like Sarah Jessica Parker, which is more playful and fun and flirty, or I want some dramatic glamour, some Sofia Vergara. I want some bohemian, like a Kate Hudson. I want to have some business. I'm more business chic. I want to come across like that, like Blake Lively or Hope Hicks or Jessica Alba, or I'm more edgy classic, like a Charlize Theron or an Angelina Jolie or, you know, that kind of thing. And you also want to mix it up. So don't have four shots that are all dramatic glamour. Try and pick a few styles. You know, you want to have something where you are dressed up, some more where maybe you are in jeans, more casual elegance. So the person,
clothes that you would wear, that you would find.
Clothes that you would wear. Yeah. So the person gets to see different aspects of your personality and your unique style. And again, if you need help with that, then this is something that you could work with a coach to help you with that.
You know, one thing I did for my mom, Cammy, is, and I won't make this long, and it really, really helped her out, her self-confidence, she put makeup on completely wrong. And there are a lot of women out there that just don't know. They don't even know that they're walking around with like makeup that is not good for their skin tone, because it starts off with your skin tone and what blends and what looks natural, right? So I took her to, it was like Macy's or Nordstrom's or something where they have all the cosmetic counters. And I let somebody, you can do it at MAC, you can do it at, there's so many places. Any mall has a place. And I let someone, you know, I told them just natural this, that. We went and got my mother all brand new makeup, but very little because she doesn't wear much. And if you wear a lot, that's great too. But just,
yes,
it did so much for like her foundation blended in and her blush looked like, she just looked so much more vibrant because like I never wear blue eyeshadow. It doesn't look good on me.
Yes.
And it's just, it's not me. So it's one of those things where like learning how to have proper makeup application for your skin tone and your look and your style will help your overall, you know, look on too for your photos. And
well, and when you're getting professional photos, get professional makeup artists.
Yes, but sometimes they can go a little crazy too. So make sure that you know exactly how they're going to do your, test it out. Okay.
Well, I recommend a good thing to do is the bridal makeup.
Yeah.
Because it's normally pretty, but it's not overly done.
That's true.
And that's what you want. You want to look pretty, but you don't want to look like you've had one of those Glamorama kind of, you know, overly done makeup sessions.
Free in some of these stores.
Right. Yeah. Sephora does it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can get their card and ask that person to be your makeup artist when you get your photos done.
That's true. So yeah, absolutely.
Some people don't think about it. I would get it tested out. I mean, I know that you know I've had my makeup done a million times. I'm very picky with who does my makeup because I can literally look like Medusa.
Yes.
Or I can look like myself. And you never know until you test it out. So just letting you know.
Yeah. No, testing it out is great too. And I've done that too. And I've found, because I've had pictures done, you know, for different things and for promotional events and things. And then you find somebody that works and you know they did a really good job, you keep their number. And then, and if you have a special event coming up or you wanted to take more pictures or you had a special date and just to treat yourself, you want to get your makeup done, then you can call that person and you know what you're going to look like when you're done.
I know, right? All right. So I know we don't, I know I have to kind of like sum this up a little bit. I have one more question for you. So what are some of the things that women watching the summit can do for their love life makeover action plan?
Okay. So yes, gotten so many great tips and insights and resources. And so now putting it all together and taking action. So you really want to prioritize time to be organized around your love life, whether it's online dating or getting your photos taken or doing your wardrobe or looking at your fulfillment, whatever it is, but 30 minutes a day organizing around your love life. And definitely some of that time is devoted to actual drumming up of potential dates with the online dating or offline dating. And going on dates, phone calls, and first dates, you want to be practicing dating and flirting, showing up as a confident, worthy, valuable woman, asking people that you know for fix-ups. We talked about earlier practicing simple social conversation. So at the Starbucks, just, hey, wow, that looks really good. I've never tried that before. Or is that an apple muffin? Like literally, just simple social conversation. Elevators, like Tanya mentioned. Wow, I like your tie. I just practicing having social conversations. And again, it doesn't just have to be with guys that you feel you would be interested in, just practicing being more conversational. Going out and being social, even if you don't have a date set up, go out with girlfriends, take a risk, go out to dinner solo, honoring yourself and your vision of your happily ever after, your unique version of what that is, with your thoughts, with your actions, with your decisions that are congruent with that vision. So I like to have my clients ask themselves, what would a woman who loves and honors and respects herself do in this situation? And only sharing what it is that you're up to, what to creating in love and relationship with people who are loving and supportive and are really up underneath you and a stand for your future of love fulfilled. So don't be around negative people or people who are naysayers or people who are not in possibility for love. Release all ties, past and present. with individuals who are going to hinder your emotional and physical availability for healthy partnership. Just cut those ties. Only engage with suitors, we talked about this before, who are explicitly available and interested in exploring the possibility of the kind of partnership that you're seeking and are a fit for those essential qualities, that wish list, and be living up to the qualities inside yourself that you would be inside of to attract that kind of partner. Use the tools and the resources that you've learned in the summit to support you when you're feeling triggered or disappointed inside of old beliefs to shift into a more empowered place. Stay in that space of appreciation from men. Regularly practice being vulnerable and authentic in safe, responsible contexts and ways. Track that mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical fulfillment. Be a generator of your own happiness. So ask yourself, my happiness is up to me. So what can I do today that would enhance my own happiness? Practice patience and self-compassion as you're learning new skills and capacities around dating. Don't shame or blame yourself. Show up every day with the mindset that life is supporting me to have love. Look for examples of love everywhere you go. You see couples kissing on the park bench or couples holding hands in line at the movies, or you receive a wedding invitation from a friend. Don't see this as, oh, see, everybody else has love and not me. No, see these as examples that love and partnership is abundant in this world. There are examples of love and partnership everywhere I look, and that means this is evidence that life is supporting me to have love. It's only a matter of time before I have it too. And lastly, I will say, relax. Be confident, have fun as you continue to create your fulfilled and expansive life. And Walt Disney, a quote that Walt Disney said is that the way to get started is to quit talking and start doing. So just commit to one thing that you know would be most supportive of creating a happy, fulfilling, great love in your life. And let's have you get doing it.
All right. I love it. Cammie, you are so, I mean, this information, I love surrounding myself with it because it's so positive and enlightening and inspiring. And I know that I speak for everyone listening and watching when I say thank you, thank you, thank you for all of this. Thank you for the summit and being the amazing human being that you are. And I'm also a friend of Cammie's too. And she really is, everything that you see here is really who she is. And you do walk the walk and you talk the talk.
Oh, and thank you.
So I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to, you know, interview you today. I've loved every minute of it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for being here and support of the summit and all the women here. It was so special and a privilege for you to be able to do this with me. So thank you. And I appreciate all of the insight that you have as well to offer.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So everyone else, thank you too again, all of you, all of the extraordinary women who have been listening and watching us here. On behalf of myself and all of the speakers, we appreciate you being here with us for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. Don't forget, if you haven't been able to keep up with all of the content, you can own your own copy, add it to your permanent collection. You can do that below on the page. Or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. And when you do, you'll receive some amazing bonuses, including one-on-one private coaching time with me. And I would love the opportunity to be able to meet with you privately and create your own plan for your ultimate love life makeover. So from our hearts to yours, thank you so much for being with us for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. Here is to lasting, luscious love. Thank you for being with us. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.